Isaiah 49 this evening. I'm taking the title for the message from what is said in verse 8. Isaiah 49, verse 8. Let's read that one more time. I love the way it starts. Thus saith the Lord. He says that three times. In verse 7, he says, thus saith the Lord. And verse 8, thus saith the Lord. And then he says up here in verse 1, listen, hearken, you people, the Lord hath called. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee. In the day of salvation have I helped thee. I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant. A covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritage. Now, I'm entitling the message from the words found in verse 8, the Lord Jesus Christ is given for a covenant. He's a covenant God, the covenant of the people. He is the surety of the covenant. He is the servant of the covenant. He is the sacrifice of the covenant, the Savior of the covenant. And this covenant is the everlasting covenant of grace. I think I'm right when I say this. I looked that word covenant up, and it's used over 250 times in the Word of God. Covenant, covenant. God is a covenant God. The Lord Jesus Christ in Hebrews 7 is called the surety of that covenant. He's a guarantee of it. He's a guarantee of our salvation. Now, you remember from last week's message in this chapter, we were privileged to listen to the holy conversation between God the Father and God the Son in the matter of saving God's people. Saving God's people. Notice, he says, verse 5, and now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to his servant to bring Jacob again to him, that Israel may be gathered together unto him. Yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And again, he says in verse 6, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for light to the Gentiles that thou mayest be my salvation, salvation is of the Lord, is it not? It originates with Him. It's accomplished by Him, applied by Him. My salvation to the ends of the earth. He's the only Savior of sinners. Is there salvation in any other? No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ will bring all the elect of God among all tribe, kindred, people, nation, among Jew or Gentile, to full glory, the full glory of salvation, through the faithfulness and obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through His obedience, His faithfulness. We know by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. It's by the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, satisfying the law of God for us, His holy justice for us in His life and in His death, that He might be a just God and Savior, that He might be just and the justifier. That's why the Lord said over here in Isaiah 45, back a few pages in chapter 45, He said, look to me. He said, I'm God, beside me there's no other. Don't look anywhere else. I'm God, beside me there is no other. Now, He said, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth. I am God, and there is none beside me. Look unto me, and thou shalt be saved. Our Lord said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. None for whom the Lord Jesus Christ can suffer the penalty or will suffer the penalty of their sin in themselves. Rather, they will suffer the penalty of their sin in their substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. What did we read a moment ago? God made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Isn't that good news? He, Him, and us. He made us the righteousness of God in Him. Because the Lord Jesus Christ completely and eternally paid our sin debt. You remember from Galatians chapter 3, He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, curses everything that hangeth on the tree. He redeemed us from that curse of the law. The law says the guilty must die. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ died, under the guilt of our sin. And the law of God had to execute Him and us in Him as our substitute. Now, who says this will be so? Thus saith the Lord, verse 7. The Redeemer of Israel, His Holy One, both the Father, God the Father, and God the Son, are in complete agreement in this eternal covenant of grace. Complete harmony in the matter of covenant mercies, where we read a moment ago, He said God was in Christ reconciling His people unto Himself. The sure mercies of David, these are covenant mercies. Turn over a couple pages to Isaiah 55. Look there. Isaiah 55. Remember verse 3? Isaiah 55, verse 3. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Oh, they're sure. Salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's certain and sure, isn't it? Certain and sure in Him. That covenant is ordered in all things and is sure. Who is this one here in verse 7 where it says, the Holy One, the Holy One. Thus saith the Redeemer of Israel and His Holy One. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Holy Redeemer, isn't He? He is the Redeemer who really redeemed from all our sin. And He's the Holy One. You remember in this same chapter, Isaiah 49, the last verse, verse 26. He says, all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior, thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. The Mighty One of Jacob. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Who is this Holy One? None other than our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. He's called in Scripture the Holy One. I was reading this earlier today in Mark chapter 1. Don't turn. Let me see if I can just remember the story and relate it to you. The Lord was in Capernaum in the synagogue, and there was a man there that was demon-possessed. And when the Lord Jesus came in the presence of that man, the demons in that man said, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art. You're the Holy One of God. Even the demons know that He's the Holy One of God. When the apostles were preaching the gospel to those Pharisees, they told those Pharisees that you denied the Holy One and the Just One and you killed the Prince of Life, but God raised Him from the dead. So, with no doubt about it, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Redeemer and He's the Holy One. He's the Holy One. In regards to His deity, He is none other than the Holy One of God, for He is God. God. Even though in regard to His humanity, He's a God-man mediator, God and man in one person. But in His humanity, He's also the Holy One of God. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. He had no sin. He was tempted and tested in all points like as we are, as the God-man, yet the Scripture said He's without sin. Such a high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sin. As God, He's holy, right? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, in regard to His deity, He's the Holy One. And He's the Redeemer who really redeems His people with His own blood. as our high priest. And he is the one who came to save his people from their sin. But notice this too. It says in verse 7, who man despises. Now, why? Here's the Lord who is the Redeemer, the Savior of sinners, the Holy One who's come on a mission of mercy to call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sin, whom man despises. Now, that just shows you how depraved we are. We are. All humanity. Turn to Isaiah 53. You remember this? Despised and rejected of men. Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Verse 1. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness when we see him. There's no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Man by nature has no love for the Holy Redeemer of God, for the designated Savior. He's despised of men. The carnal mind is enmity against God. The natural man will not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Foolishness unto him. It has to be spiritually revealed, doesn't it? He came into his own nation, and his own nation said what? He came into his own received him not. When Pilate brought him before that nation and presented him as the king, remember, behold your king, what did they say? Away with that man. Crucify that man. We have no king but Caesar. Boy, what a... And then they said, let his blood be on us and on our children. The guilt of his death. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, even though he despised, a nation abhorred him, he is God's servant. He is God's servant. Notice, to a servant of rulers and kings shall see and arise, and princes also shall worship him because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. He shall choose thee. He will be a servant, a righteous servant of God. He is called the righteous servant of God. Turn back to Isaiah 53. Remember this, Isaiah 53, verse 11. He is the righteous servant of God. Righteous servant of God. He shall see of the travail of his soul, Isaiah 53, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He is the servant to his Father, accomplishing our salvation. Four times in this chapter, Isaiah 49, he's called the servant of the Lord. The servant of the Lord. But notice in verse 7 also it says, a servant of rulers, the Lord of glory, in his humiliation, subjected himself to the laws of man and to the laws of God. To the laws of the Jewish rulers, being under the law, being born of a woman, made under the law, the Lord Jesus Christ came to honor the law. And to the Gentile rulers, even subject to the Jews and to the Gentile, the rulers. He was their servant in this sense. Remember one time those tax collectors came to the Lord's disciples and said, does your master pay taxes? And Peter said, well, I don't know. Let me go ask him. And the Lord of glory said, Peter, go out there to the lake and bait a hook and cast the hook and bring out a fish. And in that fish, you'll find a coin to pay your taxes and mine. Your taxes and mine. You remember that? Matthew 17. Let me see if I can read it to you. And when he came to Capernaum, they that received the tribute money came to Peter and said, did not your master pay tribute? Tribute to Rome. Tribute to civil government. And he said, yes. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or strangers?" And Peter said to him, "Of strangers." And the Lord said to him, "Then are the children free?" "Yeah." "Well, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go to the sea, cast a hook, take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee." A servant even to Rome, paying taxes. He honored God in every aspect. The powers that be are ordained of God, and he subjected himself to them and to the law of Moses, honoring God's law and justice for us. In his exaltation, kings and princes shall worship him. Do you see that in verse 7? Kings shall see and arise, and princes also shall worship. God will have his people to worship him. Kings and princes, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess what? Jesus Christ is Lord. It doesn't matter who the king is, doesn't matter who the prince is, doesn't matter who the president is. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he's Lord, to the glory of God the Father. They'll worship him as Lord. They'll acknowledge him as Lord in that day, because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Two reasons given why everyone should worship him and will, and bow and acknowledge and submit to his lordship. The Lord Jehovah is faithful, faithful to his covenant promise. Remember, we read in John chapter 3, the Father loveth the Son and given all things into his hand. The Holy One of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the chosen of God, sent of God. He's called Isaiah 42, "Behold my servant, my elect." He is no unsent Savior. His mission is a mission sent by God to redeem us from our sin, and he cannot fail. The Word of God knows nothing about a Savior and Redeemer that failed. Everything God gave him to do, he completed. He said that in his prayer, "Father, I glorified thee on the earth." How? How so? "I finished the work you gave me to do." And then on Calvary's tree, some of his last words were what? "It's finished! Well done." How do we know that God Almighty is satisfied with the work of the Lord Jesus Christ? How do we know? God raised him from the dead. His resurrection declares everything he said, everything he did was absolutely true and successful. He cannot fail. He cannot fail. Now, in verse 8, and following, down through verse 13, we have the gracious gospel promises given unto us by God Almighty through the Lord Jesus Christ, accomplishing our salvation. Paul said, "All the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God." Peter calls them exceeding great and precious promises. Now, verse 8, "Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time, time accepted, God's time, have I heard thee. In the day of salvation have I helped thee. I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of thee people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. In an acceptable time have I heard thee." This was the time, God's time, when Christ was here on the earth, when he became incarnate, God incarnate, suffered and died for the sin of his people. Remember in Galatians chapter 4, in the fullness of the time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. This is the acceptable time. This is God's time. This is the appointed time. This is the time when he said, "My hour is now come, that I had laid down my life for the sheep." His very sufferings were acceptable to God. His sacrifice was acceptable to God as a sweet-smelling savor. His righteousness was satisfying and acceptable to God, well-pleasing in God's sight. this is the good news of the gospel, is because the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ is accepted of God and satisfying His law and justice. And the good news of the gospel to us is this: we are accepted in the Beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't it say that in Scripture? Ephesians 1 verse 6. We're accepted in the Beloved to the praise of the glory of His grace. In the day of salvation, He says, there I've helped thee. Christ as the mighty God, the Holy One, needed no help. But this is to be considered of the Lord Jesus Christ in His humanity. Remember from our study over in Isaiah 50, turn over there. Isaiah 50. In His humanity, He was helped. Remember, many times it says the angels came and strengthened Him. Isaiah 50, verse 5. The Lord God hath opened my ear. I was not rebellious, neither turned I away back. I gave my back to the smiter and my cheeks to them that plucked off my hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. He willingly laid down His life for us. For the Lord God will help me, therefore I shall not be confounded, shall not be ashamed. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that condemn me? Lo, they shall all wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. In the day of salvation, God said, I've laid help upon one that is mighty. The Lord Jesus Christ couldn't fail. The God-man mediator could not fail to put away our sin. And then the third promise He says here in verse 8, I will preserve thee. You see that? As the Father did, preserve the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when He was born, when Herod sought to kill all the infant children, and the Lord sent a special vision to Mary and Joseph, and they took the young child down to Egypt, escaping the wrath of Herod. The Lord preserved him even in his infancy as a baby. He was preserved of God. The Father also preserved him when the Pharisees sought upon many occasions to end his ministry and to end his life. Remember in his hometown is Nazareth. When he went there, tells us about it in Luke chapter 4. When he said, reading from Isaiah 61, he said, Now is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? And they got so angry. They got so mad. They tried to cast him off the hill headlong to end his life, to end his ministry. And what happened? They couldn't lay a hand on him. He walked right through the midst of them. Even in his crucifixion, he was preserved of God, wasn't he? He did lay down his life for us, but he was preserved of God because he was raised from the dead. He died for our sins according to Scripture, but he's also raised again according to the Scripture. He's preserved now, seated in the heavenlies, on the throne of God. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again because he justified us. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. He's preserved as the King, as a mediator of the covenant, one God, one mediator, as our intercessor, as our advocate. We have an advocate with the Father. Who is it? Jesus Christ the righteous. Aren't you glad He's preserved of God? Because He's preserved, we're preserved in Him. We're saved in Him. Now the Lord of glory is seated in the heavenlies. His throne, His dominion, His glory is preserved forever by the sovereign decree of God. He said, I've set my King upon my holy hill Zion. Here's the fourth thing we see in verse 8. Christ was given as a shepherd, surety, Savior, sacrifice of the covenant. I will preserve thee, and I'll give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate places. The Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd, the shepherd of the covenant. This is the eternal covenant of grace, of salvation between the Father and the Son concerning His covenant people. Turn to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. Concerning this covenant, It's called the everlasting covenant of grace. David said it's ordered in all things and is sure. Isaiah 54, look at verse 10. You remember this verse? For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on me. The God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The Lord Jesus Christ in Malachi 3, verse 1, he's called the messenger of the covenant. We know in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, he's called the sacrifice of the covenant. Here in his love, not that we love God, but he loved us. He sent his son to be the sacrifice for our sin. He is the blessing of the covenant, is he not? He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. The inheritance of the Lord's. You know what his portion is? You know what his inheritance is? It's his people. It talks about that. He will cause to inherit the desolate heritage. We're desolate. We are his portion. We are his inheritance. Let me see if I can find that for you in Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Let me just read it to you. Our Lord said this, I set my king upon my holy hill Zion. Psalm 2, verse 6. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give the heathen for thine inheritance. The uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. We are his portion. We are his inheritance. He bought us with his own blood and he's going to have us because he bought us. God bought the church with his own blood. We have an inheritance. He's raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 9. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, because of this covenant, because it's established in the earth, that thou mayest say to these, his people who are prisoners to God's law and justice, go forth. To them that sit in darkness, show yourself. And that's what he does. He turns on the light. Remember, he's given for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that sit in the darkness, show yourself. They shall feed in the ways, and their pasture shall be in the high places. Say to the prisoners, remember that scripture? Turn to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. The Lord quotes this from Luke chapter 4 in his earthly ministry, but he quotes this from when he went to Nazareth at his hometown synagogue and asked for the book of Isaiah, and he turned and here's what he read. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord, God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Oh, look at verse 9, back at Isaiah 49, verse 9. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, he's our liberator, he sets us free. Stand fast in liberty, wherewith Christ has made us free. Go forth to them that sit in the darkness. He's our light. The Lord said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Turn back to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Turn over there. Talking about the Lord lightening us and commanding the light to shine. Isaiah 42, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, which cometh out of it, he that giveth bread unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein. I the Lord have called thee in righteousness, will hold thy hand and keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to any graven image. The Lord Jesus Christ is our liberator and He's our light. He commands the light to shine. And then Christ is our provider. Look at verse 10. Verse 9 and verse 10, the last part of verse 9. They shall feed in the ways, and their pasture shall be in high places. High places. The Lord Jesus Christ is our provider, our good shepherd, our chief shepherd, our great shepherd. The sheep of Christ are well fed on high pastures of His Word. Christ is the bread of life, and we feed upon Him. The sheep of Christ have their thirst quenched and satisfied. The Lord Jesus Christ is the water of life. He said, "Ho, everyone that's thirsty." Where is that? "Ho, everyone that's thirsty, come to me." Without money, without price. Isaiah 55, isn't it? Isaiah 55. "If you're thirsty," He said, "come to me and I'll give you water. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. Ho, everyone that's thirsty, come to the waters." Come to Christ. Come. He's the water of life. He's the bread of life. He's a sustainer. He's our provider. He is our good shepherd who laid down His life for us. He shall lead them even by the springs of water. See the last part of verse 10? They shall not hunger. They shall not thirst. Why? He'll lead them even by the springs of water shall He guide them. He's our guide. I will make all my mountains a way, and a highway shall be exalted. Now the reference is to Isaiah 35. Turn over there. Isaiah 35. Turn over there. Look at verse 8. Isaiah 35, verse 8. "And a way shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. And the unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, no ravenous beast shall go up on thereon. It shall not be found, but the redeemed of the Lord shall walk thereon." It's the highway of holiness. "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their head. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away." The Lord is the highway of grace. It's a highway. "My highway shall be exalted," the Lord said. "I am the way, the truth, the life." Verse 12, He says, "Behold, these shall come." They shall come. Remember all that the Father hath given to me. They shall come to me. He suffered once the just for the unjust, that He might bring us unto God. "Behold, these shall come from far. Lo, these from the north, from the west, and these from the land of sin, they shall come." You know why they come? He brings us. "No man can come to me except my Father which sent me," what? "Draw him. He loved them with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness does He draw us to Himself." That's good news, is it not? "They shall not hunger nor thirst. Heat shall not smite them. For He that hath mercy on them shall lead them." He has mercy on His people. That leads us down to verse 13 in closing. "Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted His people and will have mercy upon His afflicted." Break forth into singing. What do we sing about? Let's see if we can read one more scripture. Turn back to Isaiah 44. I think we've turned to a lot of scriptures tonight, haven't we? You don't mind reading the Word of God, do you? Isaiah 44. "Sing, O heavens, Break forth in the singing, O mouth, for the Lord hath redeemed His people, comforted His people. Isaiah 44:21. Remember these, O Jacob. Isaiah 44:21. And Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression, and a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Now, He redeemed us, delivered us from all our sin. Now what? What should we do? Verse 23, sing, O heavens, for the Lord, the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth in the singing, ye mountains, O forth, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified Himself in Israel. Sing unto the Lord, O heavens, O earth. Break forth in the singing, for the Lord hath comforted. Look back at the text. Isaiah 49:13. The Lord hath comforted His people. Now remember Isaiah 40? Don't turn, let me read it to you. Comfort you, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, crying to her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sin. Boy, that's comfort, isn't it? The Lord put away all our sin. That's comfort. The Lord hath comforted His people. He comforts us with Christ. And He will have mercy. You see that? He will have mercy. He will have mercy on His afflicted. You need mercy? Well, I do. I'm a mercy beggar. I'm a mercy beggar. Let's never graduate above being a mercy beggar. The Lord will have mercy upon His people. Moses asked the Lord, show me your glory. Remember, Exodus 33. And he said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Paul picks that up in Romans 9. It says, not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. You see, part of God's character, He is holy. He is merciful. He is just. The Lord will have mercy. He will have mercy upon whom He will. Sovereign mercy, but He will have mercy. Look at verse. Let me quote this verse to you. Micah 7:18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, that passeth by the transgression of His remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delights in mercy. He delights in mercy.